This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead the show are Amazon employees and bathroom breaks. Leaked Apple memo is going to get someone fired. Fingerprints from an app is used to convict a drug dealer. Changes at MoviePass. And 6 digits is not enough. I want to welcome you to episode 1274 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. Pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the new listeners to the show. Of course, a big shout out to the Ohana for all the long-term folks that are listening and subscribing to the podcast. Thanks for being here. For those of you that are brand new, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you can subscribe to the show and the newsletter by just basically clicking the subscribe link that applies to your mobile device on the right-hand column of the website. If you don't want to do it by mobile, you can get the show by email or just a standard old RSS feed or one of the other services listed there. Definitely check that out at geeknewscentral.com. And we want you to visit Geek News Central daily to read the great content being put together by my writing team. Of course, when I am in Hawaii, which I am not now, I will be live at live.geeknewscentral.com. You can go there to find a previous show video. You can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at geeknews. If you want to join our Slack channel, definitely send me an email. Let me know you want to be part of the Slack channel, and I'll get you added. I do have a listener I've got to get added that I just received an email from. We'll get that hooked up for that listener here in short order. But you can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook just searching by the name Todd Cochran. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, or on the Apple TV just by searching for this show's name. You can listen on the Amazon Echo device. You can listen via Google Home, or if you have a Microsoft Cortana device. It's very, very simple. All those devices, you just have to tell them to play the podcast Geek News Central. And that'll get you fired up on all those. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher, watch or view at blueberry.com. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. You'll find all these partner shows, of course, at geeknewscenter.com. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. The Pro Gear site being written by my GNC team. The Podcast Legends Show and, of course, the new media show I co-host with Mr. Rob Greenlee. I want to thank everyone for being here. Of course, I want to thank our sponsor. And you can save a lot of money by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to get hooked up with one of my many GoDaddy promo codes, whether it be a 99-cent.com or whether it be $1 a month managed WordPress hosting site or $1 a month economy hosting site. All those deals are available for you. Those hosting deals are great. $12 get you going. And each of those hosting deals includes a free domain. We've also got a 30% off discount code on the website or a 99-cent.com. So check out all those deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Pick up a product or service. Hey, it's, you know, we're going to be approaching Mother's Day in the near future. So why not pick up a domain for mom, put a site together, put all the pictures of you and her together, and you can present her an online Mother's Day gift. Of course, a domain name for every occasion is obviously available for you at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, everyone, it's good to be back in the saddle, and I'll be honest with you, I'm running on empty. The things have been, as you can expect, it's been crazy. And first of all, I want to thank Kirk for stepping in and doing a show. He was down and out with the bug, flu or something for the first show. So he's able to get the second show knocked out. But big thanks for him for getting one in the can for me and putting that out. And as he said in our private Slack channel, he said that he's getting more comfortable in doing the show. So I think that's a good sign. And being it's only really this third episode, I think he's going to take a few more to get completely comfortable, but great job. So let me get you guys caught up on what has been going on. So flew out to Vegas on Friday night, got in Saturday morning, met up with my team. We kind of took it easy Saturday. Then Sunday we set up the booth, and we bought this new backdrop that, the booth setup was like 90 minutes tops, getting the tables arranged, and it had been faster than that, but the floor was covered up with plastic. I mean, it was just really a simple setup. And then, of course, Monday through Thursday was the NAB show, and I had a multitude of interviews, live appearances. If you're following some of the stuff from the Gadget Professor on GeekNewsCentral.com, you could have seen me on there as many as three separate interviews I had over there. Was on NAB Live twice. Of course, meeting with vendors. Spent about an hour with Adobe, talking them through two issues that I've had. One that they knew about, another one they documented, and hopefully they'll be able to fix. And then I had some questions on Audition. Took lots of screen caps just to be able to document what they had showed me. Spent time with the new tech team talking about their product rollout and some ideas I had that would really help content creators like you and I, or not for not you and I, but for me and other podcasters and things that they thought they should do. And then I just saw a variety of other vendors. And then, of course, we met with companies coming to see us. So the majority of my time was spent in our exhibit booth. So it was a pretty full week, to be honest. And then Friday, actually, back up a little bit. My wife flew out and joined me in Vegas on Wednesday. She flew the red eye out, got in Wednesday morning, came to the show. And then Thursday, she went to the Grand Canyon. Friday, we hung out together. Then Saturday morning, the insanity for me started. I jumped on an airplane at 6 a.m. Pacific time, got back to Honolulu at mid-afternoon on Saturday, and then I was back at the airport like 5 hours later, and by 9 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, I was once again eastbound and heading back towards Washington, D.C. So why did I go home? Really, change out the suitcase. I didn't even get all my suits, obviously clean. So some of those are in the dry cleaners today with the hotel, just because you couldn't turn and burn that fast, obviously. And then everything else, it's just was repack the suitcase, and I needed some different gear. But yeah, total insanity. I got in here to the D.C. area about 3 o'clock, I guess, yesterday afternoon. Picked up the rental car. And did some running around. Then, bam, I first thing this morning right into meetings. And here we are. So this time, I'm staying in a different kind of a... my internet in the place I'm staying just literally sucks. And I think I've made a bad decision. I tried to save a little money. And I'm staying in a location, at least for the first week here, that is not conducive for online work. So I'm a little bit irritated by the internet connectivity, but I'll survive. I got lots of work to do anyway. But so as a reminder, 3 weeks on the road, three road shows. This week should be pretty normal as far as content goes, and for a release time, things may get a little different the final 2 weeks that I'm on the road, but keep you all informed on what's going on. And if I think I'm going to be too crazy of a schedule, I'll reach out to Kirk and let him know. But yeah, regular scheduled audio only shows for the next 3 weeks. So that gives you kind of indication of what's going on. But just busy. I mean, and busy in a good way. So, no complaints. It is just, that's the way it is. But hey, I will say one thing, Kirk. Oh my God, dude, you outdid yourself tonight. So for the audience, there in the show notes, there is probably, 20, at least 20 articles that I'm not going to cover during the show tonight. That just there was just too much. Kirk outdid himself. He found a pile of stuff, and there's just no way for me to cover it all. So just be aware of that, that in the show notes tonight, there'll be at least 20 articles in the stack that I will have not covered, but they're good. Everything's good. So I'm going to go through and I culled some stuff out. I didn't add anything, but let's get into the stack because I've got a lot to go over here. Hey, it's being talked about the Amazon warehouse workers are skipping bathroom breaks to keep their job. This is from a UK undercover reporter and a labor survey, which has exposed some harrowing work conditions. You know, I've known in Hawaii some people that were in jobs, customer service related jobs, where they were afraid to take a bathroom break as well. But apparently Amazon warehouse workers are forced to go to the bathroom in bottles to forego their bathroom breaks entirely because the fulfillment demands were too high. And so this is an ongoing topic point of some stuff that's already been brought up about work in Amazon warehouses in the UK, and I'll have the link up in the show notes. But it's really fundamentally wrong if you think about that. You've got employees, you appreciate them, they're working hard, and if they have to carry an empty bottle around to go to the bathroom in the corner of a warehouse instead of being able to go use the restroom, this is just wrong. 55% of them reported suffering depression since working at Amazon, or over 80% said they would not apply for a job at Amazon again. 74% of the workers avoid using the toilet for fear being warned they had missed their target numbers. So this is a bad sign. It really, really is. But it doesn't shed good light on Amazon. We'll see if they ever make any changes here. Moving on, Apple's warning employees, well, check this out, this oxymoron, a leaked Apple memo warns employees to stop leaking information, and it goes into some significant detail that in 2017, Apple caught at least 29 leakers, resulting in 12 of them being arrested. The memo also warned that getting caught and fired could have a negative impact on their future as well. These people not only lose their jobs, they could face extremely difficult finding employment elsewhere. Of course, someone's going to call and say, why did you know, what's your recommendation on this person? And they say, well, he's a leaker. Can't be trusted. And so unsurprisingly, though, Apple declined to comment on the leaked memo. But they're taking a little bit of a harder line in warning the employees that they cannot do this. And if they do, and if they are caught, they will be fired. In what is, as far as I know, a first, police have extracted a fingerprint from a WhatsApp photo to convict a drug dealer. Now, apparently, there was an image that was shot and put on WhatsApp. And this particular photo was of, I believe, ecstasy. And in the photo, there's a small visible part of a finger at the bottom of that photo, which was enough to extract a viable fingerprint that could then be used to identify the criminal. As a result, the South Wales Police Support Unit helped secure 11 convictions, and these are the first conviction in Wales that use fingerprints obtained from photos. The police work has been described as groundbreaking, and officers are paying more attention to photos on phones to be used as potential evidence. So right there, they had the fingerprint, they could see it, and they used that in order to run it against the database. And but what's interesting is the image did not match on a natural database, but the police had an idea who they believe was behind the drug operation. So they basically went and basically they narrowed their scope and was able to make a match. So this is pretty cool here, what they've been able to do. So some drug dealers are behind bars because they inadvertently let a fingerprint show on a picture that they took of the drugs that they were selling. MoviePass may have just ruined its unlimited subscription service. After bouncing between a multitude of payment modes through 2016, MoviePass finally struck gold last August when it lowered the price of its unlimited plan to $9.95 per month. For less than the price of a single movie ticket, subscribers could see up to 30 movies a month. Well, with Coachella kicking off last weekend, MoviePass announced that it was teaming up with iHeartRadio to give new subscribers a chance to sign up for 3 months of MoviePass and a 3-month trial of iHeart, all access for $29.95. The catch, the version of the membership lets you see just 4 movies a month, and there's no way currently not to do the combo deal. So you are, at this point, going to be stuck. If you sign up for this, maybe only being able to do or get access to 4 movies a month. I don't know. Who has time to go to more than 4 movies a month? I think it's cool you can go to 30 movies, but there's not 30 new movies out a month. But anyway, new subscribers are kind of in limbo here, but we'll see what happens after this promotion ends, if it goes back to giving the old deal. Over on motherboard.com, they are recommending that iPhone users stop using a 6-digit iPhone passcode. They say that now that police agents can allegedly crack iPhones protected with a passcode made of 6 numbers, it's time for users to have a longer and harder to guess and crack alphanumeric passwords. Now, there is a way to do this, and I didn't even know this. They actually talk about how to change these settings that Apple has put together, and you can actually change the number of passcodes, and you can also include letters, numbers, and symbols now. So very, very interesting here that you can do that. So Motherboard is saying 6 is not enough. Well, I guess if you are worried about the police securing your handset, this may be a worthy change. I think for the average Joe, we probably don't care. But Motherboard is saying 6 is not enough. They're busting in. Budget TV service Philo, P-H-I-L-O, now streams on Amazon and Apple devices. It will work with the Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV starting this summer. And Philo may have started out as a streaming service for students in collaboration with the university, but the company now has its own full-fledged consumer streaming service now. And the dev team is in the process of expanding the devices on which Philo is available. The streaming service, which is supported by smaller cable channel companies like AMC and Discovery, has survived because of its impressively low subscription fee. It undercuts even the cheapest rivals with a $16 per month price. And of course, that means that the offerings on Philo are limited, but, and I like this, there's no sports channels. Instead, Philo counts smaller cable channels like Comedy, Central, the Food Network, TLC among its offerings. The company is also now supporting TV Anywhere authentication with all of its apps except for OWN. And according to CNET, that support is coming soon. So very, very cool. So we'll see where this is. I need to check this out. P-H-I-L-O is the name of the service. Again, $16 per month. If you're not a sports fan, this may get you everything that you need. There's a great article over on CNET talking about shooting 4K video on the ground and in the sky with the UNEC Q5000 or Q500 for $350. The original price of this drone was as high as $1,300. Includes a touchscreen equipped remote and steady grip mount for capture land footage, plus a portable projector for under $100. So interesting here. $349. 4K. Pretty impressive stuff there. And of course, they have an associated projector as well that's available. It's called the Goobang Do. Yeah, that's truly the name. Amazon seller Goobang Do has the A-Box T22 portable projector for $98. And you have to use the promo code that's in the article. All right, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. Is your Mac causing problems? Are you having hardware issues? Well, you know about the Apple hardware test or Apple diagnostics, right? You don't? Well, this is a pretty cool little tool. I ran one on one of my machines here recently. Gives you instructions on how to do that and how you can run diagnostics on your MacBook. And you can look at the reference codes that it provides you and cross-reference that with the article here that I'm linking to. And or you can just Google the code that it gives you with the information on what's wrong or potentially wrong with your hardware, all right? Good article by MakeUseOf.com. There's also, you know, I have to, you know, I don't know what it is. Just coincidence, maybe? So I got out here and I got into the, into my room and I was digging through my bag, digging out my Apple Fire TV, and of course the internet's here not so great, so I wasn't completely sure it was going to work. And voila, it wasn't in the bag. And I was like, crap. Well, right down the street, about a mile, it was a Best Buy. I saw it when I drove in. So I went down there and picked up the cheapest Apple Fire TV I could get, $39.95, I think. Brought it back to the room, got it plugged in, got it set up, and boom, I was able to watch a few, watch a movie last night. And, but there are some essential apps to install on a new Amazon Fire TV or Fire TV stick. And some of these I was really never fully, aware of. And, this has got some pretty good, selections here. You can obviously load a browser and you can load Netflix and stuff like that, but there's a whole bunch of other options. TuneIn Radio, Haystack TV, you can set up a VLC, Kodai. There's just some very cool things I really hadn't followed too much. So definitely check that out. Link will be up in the show notes. And a special downloader as well. That is a central tool if you're planning to sideload Fire TV apps onto the device. So link will be up in the show notes for this one. Definitely check it out. Great coincidence there, Kirk, on the article today. Also, SpaceX is going to be launching the NASA's Test Planet Hunter on Wednesday. So they're going to be sending the satellite to orbit. 350 kilograms, I think, is the, they said it was the weight. So they're going to launch from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral. Let's see, what else? NASA TV is broadcasting the test-related content up until the launch. You can watch it via live embedded video. SpaceX should also be broadcasting the launch on their website. So the link will be up in the show notes here, all right? You know, I've got Android TV on my Sony big screen television at my home. And up to this point, it's been a little over... underwhelming. Sure, I can load Amazon, I can load YouTube TV, I can load just about most of the apps I want, but it's a little clunky. But it's being rumored here that, you know, the Chromecast model has been pretty successful, but it may be time for Google, and it's being rumored because there's a device at the FCC that people caught wind of some pictures that looks like a full-blown Google or Android dongle, something new. It's a Chromecast-type dongle, kind of looking, maybe it is another Chromecast dongle, who knows. But there's been some speculation that there's going to be some advancements made to Android TV. And, of course, Google I.O. is a little more than 2 weeks away, so we may find out then. But these pictures are no longer up on the FCC website, and there's a hold until October on those images. So it makes you wonder, based upon some release schedule of Google, whether or not they're going to be revamping Android TV. I'm a big fan of Anchor products. You can now pre-order and save on Anchor's impressive foray into home security. So if you're looking at investing in home security systems, something that's basically some Wi-Fi based cameras and so forth, something they've just introduced is called the Evercam. And it's a truly wireless camera designed for outdoor use that can operate up to a year on a charge thanks to its built-in anchor battery. That's pretty cool. It won't record 24/7 for a year, but rather uses motion detection and facial recognition to record only when it detects someone on your property that doesn't belong. And rather than streaming the footage to the cloud and charging a monthly fee, the Evercam records to an included base station for free, which also has a built-in backup battery to operate for up to 2 days of power outage. And you can do that for $3 per month per camera. So not as inexpensive. Well, the camera upfront cost is a little cheaper, but nothing like having multiple cameras wired like I have for my security system. But if you only have to do a couple point of entrances, then this may be the way to go. Spotify is announcing a mysterious event. It's going to happen on April 24th. They say, we've got news for you. Here's about what's next for our mobile app. Well, in my opinion, the Spotify mobile app could use a lot of work. So hopefully they've revamped it. But if you're a Spotify user, look forward to that announcement on the 24th. Also, if you're using Yahoo or AOL email and you've been using that because you've been trying to stay away from targeted advertising, well, stand by. It's about ready to change. Again, if you've been using Yahoo or AOL, there's news from Oath, O-A-T-H. Of course, Oath is the parent company of both that you're going to be aware of. A recent tweak to the company's privacy policy gives it a right to scan all incoming and outgoing email for the explicit purpose of delivering content, advertising, and services. Oath also reserves the right to share the data with its parent company, Verizon. Of course, we've talked about Verizon's lack of privacy protection and user hostile practices before, and it basically intends to analyze user interactions with financial institutions in order to provide products and services of interest to those of you that use AOL or Yahoo email. I have the link up in the show notes on that. Just be very aware here. These changes are coming, all right? Of course, Zuckerberg was basically grilled a couple of times. I was out when all that coverage went down. But something that was surprising was that Zuckerberg told U.S. Representative Ben Luan on Wednesday of last week that Facebook collects data of people who have not signed up for Facebook for security reasons. However, he never explained what those reasons are, nor did he explain what Facebook is doing with the information it gathers aside from using it for quote-unquote security purposes. This is kind of crazy. He says this kind of data collection is fundamental to how the internet works. Facebook told Reuters in a statement, Facebook uses cookies to collect non-users' data, but people can't really opt out. There are basic things you can do to limit the use of information for advertising, like using browser or device settings to delete cookies, Facebook said when asked if users could opt out. This would apply to other services beyond Facebook because, as mentioned, it is standard to how the internet works. I don't track anyone third party that doesn't come to my website. So lawmakers want Facebook to build a tool that would allow a non-user to find out what the company knows about them. For the time being, however, Facebook has no plans to create such a tool. If you're not even using Facebook, they're tracking you. Russian hackers are mass exploiting Reuters and homes, governments, and infrastructure. This should not come as a surprise. There was a report coming out that basically from Homeland Security and UK's National Cybersecurity Center that basically says the Russian government-sponsored actors are using the compromised devices for man-in-the-middle attacks that extracts passwords, IP, and other sensitive information to lay the groundwork for potential intrusions in the future. So here's the deal. If you haven't been updating your routers and your switches and that stuff that you have in your business, shame, shame, shame. Get your IT guy or you go into your systems and update firmware. Get the stuff updated. Make sure you close the holes in your systems. Don't be using default passwords. So the alert identified multiple stages in the hacker campaign. There was reconnaissance in which hackers identify internet-exposed network ports. They weaponized and delivered traffic to vulnerable devices that caused them to send configuration files that contained cryptographically hashed passwords. They'd done exploits in which attackers used previously obtained credentials to access devices. And they've done installations using the Cisco Smart Install technology, command and control, where hackers masquerade as legitimate users or establish a connection through a previously installed backdoor. Of course, last week, Cisco had its own advisory warning that Smart Install client was being abused. So, more Russian meddling. It's all over the place. Moving on to car automation, good article on Engadget talking about BMW's autonomous driving campus and how the company's working on the ultimate writing machine. So, the automaker's first level 3 car will have the technical capabilities for level 4 or 5 highway driving. They said that they can create a software update for the car and inform our drivers. We are very confident on this road. We are very sure nothing can happen. You can sleep if you want to. He makes sure to note that this is a best case scenario. So they're really working on this, this self-driving fleet and making a big, big move. Pretty good article from Inside BMW. Also, Ford is going to launch a self-driving car network in scale in 2021. Many major car companies are planning to invest in car automation, and with Ford planning to launch its network backed by its fleet of autonomous cars in the near future, Ford said it plans to launch its self-driving car network in 2021 and that it's going to make a purpose-built vehicle for that network. The company has said that it's going to launch the service at scale in 2021. It certainly won't be the only self-driving car service on the road. There are others already. However, they're largely limited to select areas in certain cities. Ford doesn't want to do things that way. Ford executives revealed the company will be launching a self-driving at scale. So at scale means what? The whole country? And we know that Ford recently launched a program for its self-driving vehicles, Miami. And they're trying to compete with against Lyft and Uber. They will not be partnering with other companies. They're going to be doing their own thing. So this fleet will be owned entirely by Ford. The car I'm renting is a Ford, and it's a compact, and kind of miraculously, it had sync in it. And I immediately plugged in my iPhone and got CarPlay to come up, and it's just really awesome. So those of you that have access to CarPlay and the interaction and being able to just did a, plugging your phone in and instantly having CarPlay there is pretty cool. Porsche has announced it's going to be setting up 500 fast charging stations in the United States to support their electric vehicles. 500 is not that many. That's a pretty small number, to be honest with you. And we need a lot more charging stations across the country. Tesla is being reported on that it may purposely undercounting worker injuries in its factory. In a report published today, revealed details evidence that Tesla has been undercounting the injuries sustained by workers at its Fremont, California factory over the last couple of years. Injury rates at the factory have been higher than industry average, but for 2017, the company reported a sharp drop in injury rates. The reduction brought Tesla in line with the rest of the industry, but reveals an investigation in which it conducted interviews with more than three dozen current and former employees and reviewed hundreds of pages of official documents suggests that the company has been mislabeling work or injuries. By law, the company has to report any injuries sustained on its property that resulted in missed work. But according to Reveal's finding, the company has frequently labeled such injuries as personal medical cases, meaning they don't have to report it. There was injuries on there like broken bones, lacerations that they say were not recordable. So pretty crazy stuff here. And so it's very, very, very damning here if this is the case. Tesla does have a statement They said the report suggests Tesla doesn't accurately track injuries or that we mislabeled or undercounted injuries to make our record look better than it actually is. We believe in transparency. We would never intentionally misrepresent our safety record to our employees or the public. It goes on to say that it did properly record the injuries presented to it by Reveal, and that the report suggests a lack of understanding about how injury reporting works. It also claimed that Tesla employees reported feeling harassed by Reveal reporters, and those reports ignored what they were told by current employees. So, interesting. We'll see what happens here. Tesla getting very defensive with the report. Volkswagen's going to be debuting cars with autonomous parking in 2020. You can forget about hunting for a free space. Car will do it for you. So, very, very cool. All right. Of course, Ford has had self-parking vehicles for a long, long time. Alibaba is the latest Chinese internet giant to test self-driving cars. So, Alibaba Group, again, testing its own autonomous vehicle and is looking to hire an additional 50 self-driving vehicle experts. Alibaba's rival Baidu, and Tencent have also been working on autonomous technology as well. So this is just worldwide on all this autonomous stuff. More interesting to me is most of Toyota cars will be able to talk to each other by 2025. The first models will go on sale in the United States in 2021. It's called Dedicated Short Range Communication, DSRS. Since 2015, the automaker installed the tech in around 100,000 cars in native Japan. The automaker pointed towards its automatic emergency braking system, pledged from 2015 as a proof of intent. Now Toyota says 92% of its U.S. sales are cars with its Toyota Safety Sense or Lexus Safety Sense braking tech as standard equipment. So we'll see where this goes. Of course, Volkswagen, will have DSRC on the road by 2019. Of course, the idea is to start blanketing the road with cars equipped with the V2V, and that's vehicle-to-vehicle, and vehicle-to-infrastructure, V2I, communications, reducing collisions and traffic bottlenecks. So we'll see where this goes. There's years to go here on this yet, but it's cool to see where it's heading. Target is bringing same-day deliveries of in-store purchases to 5 cities. So if you are in, let's see here, if you're in Boston, Chicago, New York City, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., you'll be able to have the purchase delivered to your homes within 2-hour time frame. The service costs $7 unless large furniture is being delivered, in which case an additional $25 fee may apply. So very, very exciting for Target. I don't shop at Target. T-Mobile's in trouble. T-Mobile is going to pay $40 million for failing to fix rural calls. In other words, when you dialed a rural telephone number, sometimes the call didn't go through. But T-Mobile, in order to cheat, was inserting its own ring, which is a grave sin with the FCC. Injecting false ringtones while customers are on the line misleads them into thinking the carrier isn't to blame if a call fails. Per the agreement, T-Mobile admits fault and will pay the fine. In 2015, it settled with FCC $17.5 million around a pair of 9/11 outages. So it's all about getting caught and getting fined. So naughty, naughty T-Mobile will not be able to terminate, for some reason, rural calls. Google is going to add extra Gmail security by building a walled garden and wants to make money and ignore end-to-end encryption. So basically, they're adding some different layers here. They're adding a layer of Gmail to Gmail service, which would allow for non-forwarding and non-printing of emails. But it has to be between the two, you know, between two Gmail points. So that's interesting. I pay for G Suite currently myself, and it's, you know, pretty valuable to have that extra storage and extra features, but very curious here that they are trying to really redefine some features in email, specifically when they do a point-to-point between Gmail to Gmail. Congratulations to Netflix. Our Netflix subscriber count hits 125 million. That's a big jump. Netflix first quarterly report for 2018 shows that after notching its most subscriber additions in Q4 2017, It barely slowed down. Over the last 3 months, it added 7.4 million subscribers as compared to 8.33 in Q4. 1.96 million of them in the United States, its second biggest quarter ever, and enough to hit the 125 million subscribers on the dot. Putting out a lot of cool new series. That's what's really doing it. It confirmed this spend between $7.5 and $8 billion this year on content. So other than that, not a lot to announce, except it did have an agreement that expanded its work with Comcast. Looked like they're trying to work on some bundle pricing, so very interesting. If you have an Apple Series 2, Apple Watch Series 2, listen up, if you have an Apple Watch Series 2, and you have any battery bulging, which will be evident by the back of the case or maybe even the front of the case seeing a little bit of separation, you can get some new battery. So definitely pay attention to that. When my Apple Watch Series 1 face popped off the watch, Apple replaced it. And for a small fee, my son, who now has a watch, was able to upgrade, which made it pretty slick on how they work the deal. So if you've got a phone that has a swelling, an Apple Watch that has a swelling battery, be aware that Apple's got a way to replace it. Zillow is no longer just a real estate marketplace that can help you find your next home. The company has decided to become an active participant in the field. In an announcement today, Zillow has revealed that it's going to start flipping houses in Phoenix and Las Vegas. The company has teamed up with local brokerages in those areas to offer sellers money for their homes. If they accept, Zillow will make repairs and list those houses on its own marketplace as quickly as possible. So, wow, flip your house, flip this house. Zillow might be buying it if you live in Phoenix or in Las Vegas. I wonder how that pricing is going to work. Are they going to come in fast, offer a little bit lower to get the house turned? Be really interesting to watch how this is going to work out. Do you shoot photos professionally? Have you ever had a photo of yours lifted? Well, there's a cool company out there now that's going to help you recover some money. It's called Pixie, P-I-K-S-Y. And Pixie is designed to take care of piracy of your content. They'll find your photos on the web. And then they will do a cease and desist and compensation letters to those that are abusing. And they keep 50% of the proceeds, but you just have to sign up, index your images, and bada bing, bada boom. If someone's used it illegally, potentially get paid. So this is awesome. You know, all of us that have a router in our house or a modem, which many of you may just refer to it as a modem, these things seem to have a short shelf life. I think the most I've ever got out of any modem is 2 to 3 years. And I don't know why that is. I think it's just the equipment is designed not to last super long. But if you're thinking of buying a new modem, I've got a link here in the show notes for you today to review some of the new top-end modems and routers that are out there. And definitely check that out. Worthy of a read and to potentially save you some money and make some good choices here. Over on torrentfreak.com, and I haven't had a lot of articles from these folks recently, but this is a good one. And check this out. It's kind of crazy. Hong Kong-based broadcaster is involved in a blocking application at the federal court in Australia. They requested a pretty drastic action to reduce privacy. Not only do they want specific apps blocked, but they want the services that distribute the apps blocked as well. So they want to make it very, very painful for any storefront that provides a TV-based app to be penalized. So some of the apps out there they want shut down is A1, Blue TV, EVPad, Fun TV, Moonbox, Unblock, and HTV5. All these apparently are illicitly restreaming or re-encoding premium content. But not just going after the apps. They want the services that deliver those apps shut down as well. So we'll see where this one goes. It could be very, very big if the court in Australia agrees and causes like a Google Play to be blocked as part of this injunction. Do you use the Google app inbox? I've got it loaded on my phone. I'm not a big fan of it. They may be killing it. There's some indications they might be doing that. So just be aware if you're using inbox, it might be going away. Also, up next here is if you want to celebrate Earth Week, you can save an extra 20% off used items from Amazon Warehouse. So I'll have this up in the show notes. Of course, Amazon aficionados know the company sells lightly used products at significant discounts in its Amazon Warehouse brand. And again, to celebrate Earth Week, you can save an extra 20% at checkout. So very, very cool. Tons of categories are on sale. TVs, kitchen appliances, cameras. So definitely check things out. Save that 20%. Link is in the show notes. YouTube apparently is in trouble. There is an article over on ekgaming.com talking about YouTube Kids potentially violating the privacy rights of those that are 13 and under. They say that their privacy policy, that they can and will collect data from their users, but YouTube may or may not currently be in decline, but it's one of those most popular video sharing sites on the world. The root of the problem is that age gates, like YouTube's requirement that people must be over the age of 13 to use their service, about as effective as actually as lines in the sand. No one's going to stop someone that's under from 13 using YouTube, and this lies the problem. I think it's more about parent control at that point, isn't it? Also, just a little background on an amateur VR cinematographer, which was on the International Space Station, Paolo Nespoli, described his role working with Darren Aronofsky in a documentary service called One Strange Rock, and talks about shooting on the International Space Station. Pretty interesting little piece here. I can't wait to see the video. I don't know when that's going to be out, but had a Red in space, shooting 4K on Red. Well, you can breathe a sigh of relief, even though you didn't know this happened. A 150-foot asteroid flew alarmingly close to Earth just hours after being spotted. And this asteroid, named 2018 GE3, was the closest to Earth around 2:40 a.m. Eastern on April 15th, when it was spotted about 119,500 miles away. That's about a half distance between us and the moon. So it's 6 times bigger than the Shevardnadze meteorite, which exploded over central Russia in 2013. Did you know there's 12 plus things you can do with a locked iPhone? You may be surprised. Of course, you can wake it up, you can make a call, you can use Siri, you can open Control Center, you can use the flashlight, there's music controls, you can check notifications, you can take a picture, you can look in the wallet, you can return missed calls, you can check medical data. Huh, did you know that? All available and more on a locked iPhone. There's a new product out from Anchor. Record wide angle HD from your dash with an Anchor ROAB cam. $51. This is pretty cool. While supplies last, and this is the lowest price we've seen it, and it's nearly 45% off its savings, its price on Amazon. I love these cameras. They go into vehicles. I have one in my car. It runs continuously. So a nice little package here. $45. You can't beat it. Having a dash cam. Final few articles today, and I am going to get through this on time. I blasted through this thing today. Facebook ad feature claims to predict users' future behavior. This is interesting. The product name Loyalty Prediction by Facebook is part of a suite of capabilities enabled by a machine learning powered tool called FB Learner Flow. The document, according to Intercept, describes Facebook's ability to use its vast amount of personal data to identify individuals, users who are at risk of changing to competitor's product and then target them with advertising at the moment they would be about to switch. These individuals could then be targeted aggressively with advertising, could preempt and change their decisions entirely, writes Intercept Sam Biddle, something Facebook calls improved marketing efficiency. Wow. This tech basically underscores the power of Facebook to profile its users here. It really, really does. So link will be up in the show notes on this. You can go read about more naughtiness by Facebook. Hey, those of you down in Australia, Australia's going to start installing cameras that can detect drivers using their phones. So long-range cameras and street cams, a variety of different things, are going to be able to see if you're looking at your phone, and if so, automatically issue you a ticket. So something to do with the way your head's knotted down a little bit, turn to the side. It's going to be able to detect that you're looking at your phone instead of looking at the road. WhatsApp for Android now lets users re-download deleted media. Sometimes we do spring cleaning and may have deleted a file or two by accident. You can recover those particular ones from WhatsApp through the app itself. Also, researchers developed an artificial intelligence that can animate a new Flintstones cartoon. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. 2 minute and 54 second video. You can watch the Flintstones cartoon that has not seen an episode in at least 50 years. And all this was done by simply telling the AI what they wanted through a script. And it animated it up. Pretty slick stuff indeed. There's more leaked photos of DJI's rumored Phantom 5 drone. I'm really excited about this drone. It looks pretty doggone sexy. I've got my drone with me here. And I'm going to hopefully get some fly time in if I'm far enough away from an airport. But the new DLM lens allows multiple flight modes and also increased flight time, support for two memory cards, a max speed of 55 miles per hour, a max range of 7 kilometers. Now remember, you are only legally allowed to fly no further than what you can see the drone by your naked eye, and also a battery upgrade that promises up to 33 minutes. And the DJI is expected to launch new lenses for the drone, which includes a 15mm, 24mm, 35mm, and a 50mm. So that's kind of exciting stuff. But it's been rumored to cost around $1,600, but no one knows how much those lenses are actually going to cost. But welcome addition. France, if you live in France, they want to put lights and beacons on your drones. Yes, a beacon that can be tracked with data that's going to be sent back down the Wi-Fi signal that's going to basically tell the drone's manufacturer, the drone's serial number, its latitude, longitude, altitude, the latitude and longitude of its takeoff point, its speed, its heading, and a timestamp for all of the above, updated every 3 seconds. So the French Aero Modelers Association, FFAM, is told its members about this. So there's a lot of activity going on, as you would think, that's also talking about counter-tracking software that stops some of the drone software updates. They're tracking the drones from actually being sent back to the mothership. UK is a final article tonight. UK is reportedly preparing for a Russian-backed cyber attack. And it appears tensions between the UK and Russia continue to mount. This is over expulsion of some diplomats and the poisoning of a Russian spy that I think turned on them. So they're expecting a full on cyber attack from the Russians. Okay, final thing tonight. Let's see here. This one I got from Andy. And Andy says to me, and Andy, I want you to think about this before you get too excited. He says, can you imagine if Facebook bought Teladoc or started employing physicians and treating them on their website? I think this is a natural process for them as they already have the users and the equipment to conduct consults. If this happens, it will be huge. Andy, I have a big enough issue now with Facebook handling the data that they're handling. Why doesn't Teladoc just spend more money and become more popular. And we can do face-to-face medical consults via Teladoc. And they can take care of the HIPAA data. I just don't think I want Facebook in the medical consulting business. I really, really don't. Got an email from one of my good buds who's a retired in the Navy. His name's Ted. And Ted says, "Hey, as I listened to you tonight on your 5th of April show, I learned from the show, was surprised from this information that he passed. Maybe this might explain, so I'm surprised to learn that where maybe some of my increased number of cell phones wanting me to sell stuff as possible come from. Lately, I am receiving anywhere from 5 to 10 calls per day. I've been blocking several of them, but they changed the phone that they are calling me from. That's what a lot of these IRS scammers are doing. I was also unaware, surprised, of insurance companies probably possibly monitoring what you purchase with your credit card. Also surprised about your crazy story about your personal story where you and your wife received new parent information after finding out that you're going to be parents again. Wow. I must also add, I heard there's a movement about controlling what you can now purchase with your credit cards, i.e. ammo or a new gun, maybe blocked or not approved. That is very scary to me. What else might be next on the controlling the purchases of what a law-abiding citizen can purchase on a credit card? Enjoy your show tonight. Thanks, Ted." Thank you, Ted, for listening. Let's see here. I got an email here. Kirk says, "Hey, I only got one email. One of the articles I talked about was the momentum that Apple Music continues to gain subscribers of Spotify. I said that I like Amazon Limited Music. I asked how the listeners what their favorite streaming music apps were. And one of the listeners responded. It was Dave. He said, "Hey, Kirk, nice job filling in for Todd. Regarding music, my wife and I have been using Pandora for years and don't really have plans on changing. I've never been too interested in Apple Music or Spotify. You mentioned Amazon Unlimited, and that's been the most intriguing device beyond Pandora for us, but I haven't signed up." Again, nice work from Dave. So note that Dave sent to Kirk. Awesome. And what else? I got another one here. This one came from Melvin, and he sent this to Kirk. He says, "Hello, so I'm listening to the podcast now, and you mentioned audio streaming. I only stream free audio and avoid all services I have to pay for. There's enough free content out there to bypass the big paid services like Apple Music and Spotify. That said, my favorites are Google Play Music, mainly because they have Digital Locker where I can back up all my music for free, up to 50,000 tracks. I barely have 19,000 tracks all organized in a playlist and albums. Use that as a backup from iTunes as well as streaming sources to play music on my Macs, Chromebooks, iPod Touch, and Android phone. Plus, they have radio stations you can stream for free, but they have ads inserted. Another one I like is AccuRadio, mainly because they have a lot of music organized into all kinds of different genres, from alternative rock to world music and everything in between. Stitcher, they have some music podcasts and a lot of other podcasts. A few live radio streams. This is where I listen to Geek News Central every week. Excuse me. 8tracks.com. Gotta take a shot of water here. 8tracks.com, I have a free user account there and publish public accessible playlist, 8tracks.com/Mac Pro. The other one I use include TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Anon Radio, Jamendo, Spotify free accounts only, and a few others. Good job subbing for Todd. You're getting better. So, Melvin, thanks for the input to Kirk. I do appreciate it. Okay, we're going to wrap this thing up. I'm still good on time, which is amazing here considering the stack of stuff I had. I want to thank you all for tuning into the show. I'm glad that I'm back in the saddle. Get caught up on my sleep here a little bit. Things will be a little bit better. But if you have comments on today's show, definitely send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget about our sponsor. I do appreciate it when you support the sponsor over at GoDaddy.com, of course, GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. I'll be back with you on Thursday for another show, which will be released for most of you. We'll get it Friday. Again, thanks for being here. And thanks for Kirk for standing in for me while I was gone. And we'll see you on the flip-flop here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.